This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Power plays only continue when they're working. That's what our special guest at the bottom of the hour says about what he calls powerful children. Dr. James Dobson, back in the 1970s, wrote a book called Dare to Discipline and followed it with a book called The Strong-Willed Child. It appears now, these many years later, that another leading spokesperson calls that strong-willed child the powerful child. And so today on Viewpoint, the second half of the program, we'll be talking with Dr. Kenneth Lehman concerning that powerful child or that strong-willed child, however you want to talk about him. And quite frankly, at the time that Dr. Dobson wrote that book, he had a child who resembled that remark, and so did I. In fact, his child was in my Sunday school class at 4 years of age. And ultimately, those two strong-willed children actually dated. No, they did not marry, but they did date. And so I have some understanding about that strong-willed child or the powerful child. And so we'll be talking about that at the bottom of the hour. But for now, we are going to talk about what that looks like when people become adults. Oh, yes, when people become adults, and we have a dramatic expression of that that's raging across the media, the talk show hosts, everywhere across the country, just in the last 24 hours. And it has to do with the Duck Dynasty. It has to do with a program, Duck Dynasty, and Phil Robertson, who happens to be the patriarch of the Duck Dynasty, and of that program on the A&E network that has brought them so much notoriety, that has brought A&E the highest ratings around and has made Duck Dynasty a cultural phenomenon in our country. And so we're going to spend a few minutes talking about that in the first half of the program here today, because Phil Robertson was just suspended by A&E indefinitely. In fact, they called it an indefinite hiatus, suspended from the program, and he is the head honcho of the program, because he happened to make some truthful statements from his point of view concerning homosexuality. So much for the wonderful, loving tolerance of the LGBT community. Before we get into that, though, wanted to share something with you. Some good things. I received a couple of emails this today from some listeners, and I thought I always like to share a few of these with you so that you understand where people are coming from and how they're looking at the program and even the books that we provide. This individual writes that I first saw you on a program. That is, it must have been a television program then, sitting with your wife and another Christian couple on a patio. And I'm trying to think what that might have been. And there are only two situations that I can think of where that might have been. Years ago, back in, I would say, the late 1970s, probably the early 1980s, early to mid-1980s, when we lived in California, our home was selected as the location for a TBN program dealing with marriage, and the captain of the love boat and his then wife, in fact, she is still his wife, Patty, joined us at our home for that special. And that aired over and over and over again across the nation. Apparently, people just love that program. And then it possibly could have been, and I'm trying to rack my brain as to what this scene may have been. It could have also been our appearance a few years ago on the Christian television network, CTN, out of Largo, Florida, in which my wife and I were interviewed concerning the power of hospitality, our book. And then also interviewed, I know she joined me for another interview. I think it was concerning the secret of the Lord. In any event, we appreciate that those programs have been appreciated by so many people across the country and around the world. And this individual says, now after having seen you and your wife on television some time ago, I have now been listening to your program, your radio program. In the last few months, have bought Seduction of the Saints, Secret of the Lord, King of the Mountain, and Out of Egypt, which I am reading now. Says, I really love your directness backed with knowledge and experience. So thank you so much for standing for the truth, quadruple exclamation points. Well, thank you so much, Cheryl, for your comments. And then again, this one coming from a pastor in Oregon up there, you know, where they hug the trees. He said, I greatly appreciate your book, King of the Mountain, and now I'm using it as the main source for a two-part sermon on Babylon and the apostate church. Wow. Well, what a blessing that is. And I'm glad that, Pastor, that you're finding it so helpful. And I think an awful lot of other pastors would find it extremely helpful as well. King of the Mountain, the eternal, epic, and end-time battle for he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world. By the way, if you don't have that book, King of the Mount, you need to get it. And what a tremendous gift it would make to people. I'll tell you, people are talking about it. It's a dramatic book, a very dramatic book, almost like reading a novel or historical novel with all the intrigue that goes with it, except everything in it is absolutely true. And your gift of $20 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get it on our website, saveus.org. And by the way, all of our books are there on the website, and every one of them would make a tremendous gift, and people have used them over the years for that specific purpose. And given this season, you might also consider The Power of Hospitality. That book now has touched the minds and hearts of pastors all across this country and others as well. In fact, it has entered Jewish households, and it is a vision-casting book that will help you to see your home revitalized, hope come through your home to others for an open heart, an open hand, an open home will change your world. And your gift of $16 or more to Save America Ministries will put The Power of Hospitality in your hands. It's a life-changing book. Did you know that the Apostle Peter said, the end of all things is at hand, therefore use hospitality? That's right, use hospitality. It is a powerful tool. In fact, it's the ultimate God-ordained tool for reaching people who do not believe in absolute truth, because they will see and feel your love for an open heart, an open hand, and an open home will touch and change your world. $16, Save America Ministries. Go to our website, saveus.org. Write to us, call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. We'll be right back after this to talk about, well, this cultural phenomenon. The Dynasty, Duck Dynasty.
Believe it or not, God has a secret. It's a life-changing, destiny-determining secret. It is God's secret because the Bible says it is. Yet, God wants to disclose His secret to all who will seek it. Discovering this secret unlocks all of God's blessings and promises, both on earth and for eternity. Unfortunately, this secret has been nearly lost over the past two generations, even in our churches, yet recovering it is America's only hope. That is why Chuck Chrismeyer's new book, The Secret of the Lord, is critical for this unique moment of history. A prominent pastor calls The Secret of the Lord compelling, a must-read for every Christian who loves America. Get your copy of The Secret of the Lord today, just $20 for this hard-bound, hope-giving book. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or order online. Saveus.org. That's saveus.org. So important is God's secret that it is God's final message to our planet. Get your copy today.
You know, there are a lot of very intolerant people out there in terms of, well, actually, very intolerant corporations. They only support the things that they support, but I tell you, if you have another viewpoint, watch out, there'll be hell to pay. Well, Duck Dynasty, the dad, Phil Robertson, has been suspended indefinitely by the A&E Network following his recent comments on homosexuality. The network announced just last night. They said, "We are extremely disappointed to have read Phil Robertson's comments on GQ, which are based on his own personal beliefs and are not reflected in the series Duck Dynasty," the network said. "His personal views in no way reflect those of A&E Networks, who have always been such strong supporters and champions of the LGBT community." So the network, they say, has placed Phil under hiatus from filming indefinitely. Well, they have their right to support the HGBT community, homosexuality, lesbian, bestiality, I mean transgenderality, or whatever you want to call it. I tell you, things are getting stranger and stranger with every day that passes, as that which the Bible calls evil is called good, and that which the Bible calls good is denominated as evil, wicked, and worthy of being chastised by America's media and America's corporations. But that's exactly what happened to Phil Robertson. And there is an uprising around the country, and I just wanted to share a little bit of this with you. You perhaps have heard of it, maybe have not. Now, I want you to know that I have never been a fan of this particular program. I only watched maybe 15 minutes of the program one time. It just wasn't my cup of tea. I wasn't antagonistic to it. It just wasn't something that I was particularly interested in. But it's a phenomenon, a cultural phenomenon in our country. And this family, the Robertson family, is indeed a righteous family and definitely strongly Christian and not afraid to own up to it. Well, entertainment came out and said, when a media figure gets suspended for making an offensive statement, the tricky thing often is figuring out which part of what he said or did he got suspended for. Well, I don't think it's any question what he got suspended for. He just voiced an opinion that was contrary to the politically correct opinions concerning homosexuality, lesbianism, bisexuality, transgenderism. That's what he did. And so he's lost his place at the head of the Duck Dynasty table for the foreseeable future. The Robertson family patriarch has been suspended now from their hit reality show in light of what they're calling anti-gay remarks that he made in an interview with GQ. Now, just to show you some of the responses to this, Sarah Palin and a congressman and a governor now have come out just very strongly in support of Robertson and just amazed at the power of political correctness and the political and cultural left that wants to shut down everyone that disagrees with them so much for freedom of speech. Sarah Palin and Governor Bobby Jindal there in Louisiana are among those coming to the defense of Duck Dynasty star Phil Robertson over his comments on homosexuality, but their words pale in comparison to Representative Steve Stockman's comments from Texas, who is targeting the star's network with both guns blazing. A&E Network suspended the Duck Dynasty star, Phil Robertson, from his own television show after calling homosexuality illogical while proffering his male viewpoint, preferring female anatomy to that of other men. The congressman from Texas said he's fuming over the controversy. He said the radical left once again seeks to personally destroy anyone who voices an opinion different than theirs. So Stockman, the congressman, says the liberal war on speech must end now. Liberals define tolerance the same way the Soviets defined peace, that is, the eradication of opposition. They are on a mission to eradicate dissent. So, Congressman Stockman says, please stand with Phil today. And he said, trust me, you're next. He warned they will target you in your workplace if we don't punch back on this. Whether one agrees with Phil Robertson or not, Stockman said it's wrong to take away a man's job for voicing his personal religious beliefs. The National Organization for Marriage has demanded that Robertson be reinstated with an apology. This time, they've attacked one of the most popular Christians in America, Phil Robertson, patriarch of Duck Dynasty's Robertson family. They're calling him vile and say he's pushing extreme stereotypes and lies. Really? So, Wednesday night, the A&E channel and network succumbed to the gay bullies and suspended Phil Robertson. Fans of Duck Dynasty have turned to social media now to oppose the suspension, with at least seven variations of Bring Back Phil Robertson pages now on Facebook. The Facebook page features a link to a petition calling on A&E networks to end the wrongful suspension of Phil Robertson. As of this morning, the petition had over 32,000 supporters, and that was just over a period of a few hours. We're extremely disappointed to have read Phil Robertson's comments in GQ, which are based on his own personal beliefs and not reflected in the series Duck Dynasty, said A&E. Robertson's comments came in an interview with GQ magazine where he championed biblical values and the battle against breaking God's commandments. He said, among other things, everything is blurred on what's right and what's wrong. Sin becomes okay. Start with homosexual behavior and just morph out from there. Bestiality, sleeping around with this woman and that woman, and that woman and those men. He paraphrased 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where he said, don't be deceived, neither the adulterers, the idolaters, the male prostitutes, the homosexual offenders, the greedy, the drunkards, the slanders, the swindlers, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. He said, don't deceive yourself, it's not right. He said, we're Bible thumpers who just happened to end up on television, as he described his family's rise to fame. Sarah Palin says the suspension of Duck Dynasty patriarch Phil Robertson over those comments he made about homosexuality is an attack on free speech. She said free speech is an endangered species today. Those intolerance, hating, and taking on the Duck Dynasty patriarch for voicing his personal opinion are taking on all of us, she said. Governor Bobby Jindal also criticized Robertson's suspension. He said, I remember when TV networks believed in the First Amendment. It's a messed up situation when Miley Cyrus gets a laugh and Phil Robertson gets suspended, said Jindal. The politically correct crowd is tolerant of all viewpoints, he said, except those with which they disagree. The homosexual activist group GLAAD said Phil and his family can't claim to be Christian, but Phil's lies about an entire community fly in the face of what true Christians believe, said their spokesperson. He clearly knows nothing about gay people or the majority of Louisianans and Americans who support legal recognition for loving and committed gay and lesbian couples. Well, that ain't necessarily so. So the long knives, said Rush Limbaugh, are out for Phil Robertson, and the left is hysterical. It's outrageous. Indeed, it is outrageous. Utterly and totally outrageous. And I tell you, friends, Bobby Jindal is right. Stockman, the congressman from Texas, is right. You're next. We're all next. If you dare to say that which is contrary to the politically correct notions of the moment. Now, there are those, and I want to apply this for just a quick moment. There are those who say, well, I don't understand why it's so difficult for you through Viewpoint and Save America Ministries to raise resources like mad. you're standing like a few others for things that are true, things that are right. You're daring to say things, and certainly that's got to have an audience. Indeed, it does. But the audience is relatively small, and you can see why. You can see why now, why we have never, in 18 and a half years on the air, have never been able to obtain a corporate sponsor for this program, even a Christian corporate sponsor. They won't do it. Churches won't sponsor. Businesses will not sponsor. And the reason they will not sponsor is the same reason why A&E has dismissed Phil Robertson from their program. They don't want to be associated with something that is going to come out and clearly state a truth that many people don't want to hear. So they're afraid that their bottom line may suffer, and so they will not support. Even though there may be those who believe in what we're saying here, who in private would say, yes, I agree with you, but I can't support you, or I won't support you. And the reason is, they won't tell you this, but it's a given. It's a given. They won't support because they're afraid that we might say something that might offend part of their business constituency. And so they do not want to be aligned with it in any way, shape, or form. Now, you can call that hypocritical, and indeed it is, but that's the way it really is. Therefore, we are dependent totally on God moving in the minds and hearts of individuals who are not prone to be so corrupted by American business and the lust for the dollar bill. It's just as simple as that. And so for these 20 years that we have formed Save America Ministries and have continued preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour, rebuilding the foundations of faith and freedom as a voice to the church, declaring vision for the nation in America's greatest crisis hour here on the near edge of the second coming. During all that time, you see, we have had to rely on the loving gifts, the faithful gifts of men and women such as yourself, whose heart God has touched and said, you know what? I want you to become a partner with that venture, with that ministry, because they're telling what needs to be told. They're saying what needs to be said when very few others will. Now, what happens then when God's people, who he speaks to in private, don't respond? Well, eventually, the funds dry up. They dry up to a trickle, and then there are insufficient funds even to maintain the most elementary form of the ministry. And so it becomes necessary to close off the expenditures of funds for radio stations and so on. And then people don't understand why. People will say, well, isn't the gospel free? Well, yes, the gospel is free, but don't you pay for your Bible? You paid for your Bible, didn't you? Somebody had to print it. The gospel is free. No question about it. That's probably one of the reasons why the Lord has never put me in a situation where I had to receive a salary from this ministry. So never am I tempted to say or not say certain things in order to ingratiate myself to listeners so that they will unload funds from their pocketbook. No, we tell it like it is and trust the Lord to touch your heart. And if he's doing that right now, become a partner. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Go to our website and make that love gift now. We'll be back. And indeed, my friends, the situation is such, and I've said it a couple of times over the past week or so, that we have actually come to the point of ground zero, so to speak. Zero in the bank account. The Save America Ministries bank account, zero balance after paying our bills. And, I mean, it's wonderful that we do pay our bills. But when it comes to the point where there is no more funding, and you have radio stations that are expecting to be paid, and you're expected to give them a 30-day notice if you're going to withdraw, we have to be very, very careful. And so, we're in a position to where we're having to consider whether or not we need to give a notice to some of your radio stations as to whether or not we can any longer appear there. And it depends on you. It really does. We do our part. We do everything that we can possibly do here to get the message out, to be faithful, to truly deliver a true message, to woo, to warn, to prepare, to encourage, to build up, to disciple, to quicken, all of the things that God says His Word is to do. And so, we cast our care upon Him, and He looks to you. Become a partner, will you? Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Or call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Or go to our website, saveus.org. Now, today we are going to be joined in this bottom section of the hour. We're going to be joined by our special guest, Dr. Kevin Lehman, who is going to be, as I indicated at the start of the program today, is going to be talking to us about what he calls, euphemistically, the powerful child. And as I indicated, Dr. James Dobson, back in the 1970s, wrote his book, Dare to Discipline, that launched his career and focus on the family, and then followed that with The Strong-Willed Child. And now, all these many years later, Dr. Kevin Lehman, renewing the thrust, the powerful child, and how to parent him. Dr. Lehman, it's good to have you back on the program.
Hey, thanks, Chuck.
Where are you located?
Tucson, Arizona.
Tucson. All right. How are things in beautiful downtown Tucson?
Oh, it's a crummy 77 degrees.
You're kidding me.
Sky.
Well, you know what? In Richmond, Virginia today, it was in the mid-60s. Can you believe that?
That's good.
God is smiling on both sides of the country.
I guess. Yeah. I grew up in Buffalo, New York, and they had 44 inches of snow out there in the suburbs this week. So we're blessed to be living in Tucson most of the year.
Well, yeah. Now, do you have a lot of powerful children or strong-willed children in your neck of the woods?
Well, you can't walk 2 feet without walking into a powerful child today. And, you know, well, let's start with the strong-willed child, because I think strong-willed children get a bad rap because, quite frankly, I want my kids to be strong-willed.
Well,
I want my
yeah.
kids to stand up and really back up their convictions.
Well, I agree with that. That's a different kind of strong will than I think perhaps Dr. Dobson had in mind. But, in fact, at the beginning of the program, I indicated that at that time he had such a strong-willed child who was 4 years of age. He was in my Sunday school class. And
oh,
so
my
I
goodness.
And not only that, we had a daughter also in that Sunday school class, and about 12 years later, the two of them dated. So we have a little bit of knowledge about how that works.
Well, I've been on focus 40 some times over the years.
So, is that right?
Yeah, you know, we go way back as well. And the thing about the powerful child is the powerful child has an agenda. He wants to win, dominate, control, has to have the last word.
And yeah.
Today's parents, I mean, we're both old enough to remember when kids used to obey their parents, and now parents, of course, obey their kids.
Well, yeah, children obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. It's the first commandment with promise that you might live long on the earth. Apparently, a lot of kids today don't care how long they live on the earth.
Yeah, they certainly have an attitude. Well, we made the mistake of bringing kids up to feel like they're the center of the universe.
Yeah.
If you do that, where's the room for Almighty God in the kid's life, or anybody else for that matter?
Well, you say that powerful kids don't just happen, they're created.
Absolutely. We create them unknowingly. Let me show you how early this happens.
Well, first of all, Kevin, why don't you tell us from your point of view what you mean by the powerful child? I think we need to define our terms here first.
Well, the powerful child wants to win. He wants to dominate. He wants to control.
Mm-hmm.
He has to have the last word.
He wants to head everybody's home. Okay.
Well, he is an authority over you as a parent.
Yeah, okay. We got it. All right.
It's as simple as that, but... what happens in just the nature of life, you take a little 18-month-old kid who's about to be placed into the high chair for dinner. And this little guy at 18 months understands power real well. And if there was a, if there was a sport called arching your back, this kid could win Olympic gold.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid begins to contort his body. Dad's struggling, trying to get him into the high chair. And mom is watching and says, honey, just give him to me. Just give him to me. I'll take him. And she takes little Fletcher and puts little Fletcher on her lap, okay, and proceeds to feed the little sucker. Now, you be little Fletcher for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather sit on mommy's warm lap and be spoon-fed or sit in the cheap plastic chair they bought at Walmart?
Uh-huh.
So that's how it starts.
Uh-huh.
And when a kid throws a temper tantrum in the mall and the parents are embarrassed and succumb to his hedonistic wishes, whatever they might be, you just told your kid how to be powerful. And not only that, you've shown them how to be powerful, and they get paid off for it.
So he says, if I keep asking and don't give up, if I keep throwing a tantrum, if I keep arching my back, I'm going to get what I want.
Exactly. You know, you're old enough to remember that most of us grew up in authoritarian homes.
Mm-hmm.
We had parents that would say things to us like, hey, you listen up. You're going to do what I tell you to do as long as you live under this roof. You understand me? Hey, you want something to cry about? I'll give you something to cry about. Don't make me come over there. I mean, a lot of people can resonate with those kinds of conversations, but this is something that especially Christian parents need to understand, that God is not an authoritarian. God doesn't grab you and I by the scruff of the neck or twist our earlobe and say, you will do this, you will do that. And yet, our way of dealing with kids is based upon superior-inferior relationships, which is pure authoritarianism. And what's happened in our society is we've gone from one extreme to the other, and the permissives reign today. And parents say things to kids like, Brittany, it's 8 p.m. Have you chosen to go to bed yet? So, you know, we have both streams represented, but what St. Paul tried to teach us was there's that wonderful authoritative as opposed to authoritarian stance. And I'll tell you, sorry, I have spent 30 some years, more than that, teaching parents that the way to rear a great kid is to make sure you're an authority without being an authoritarian. And quite frankly, people in the church don't get that very well.
No.
And kids have rebelled. I mean,
no.
It hasn't been a happy experience for most parents.
Well, the parents have rebelled against God, so the children rebel against their parents. I think that's the sequence. We don't want God to be an authority. Even though he's not authoritarian, he is authority, and we don't like that. So we're going to do jolly well what we please, and then we can't understand why our kids want to treat us the same way we treat God.
Well, not only is he the authority. He's the supreme authority.
Exactly.
And his scripture says what? Every knee shall what? Bow. So we're not talking about being mamby-pamby, and yet we're not talking about being authoritarian. That is a tough place to be. I wrote a book called Have a New Kid by Friday.
I remember that. I thought that you were biting off more than you could chew.
Well, I finished that off. That became a New York Times bestseller. And
I'm sure it did.
Have a New Husband by Friday, where I tell women, think of your husband as a four-year-old that shaves. And I tell them it's not a cash for clunkers program. But, you know, the Friday thing is interesting because today's parents want instant everything.
Yeah.
And kids want instant everything.
Right.
And it seems to me that no one wants to work to get the way to the top in whatever they were doing in life. So it's part of the permissiveness, I think, that just pervades our entire society. I mean, you talk about parents rebelling from God. We've taken God out about everything there is to take him out of. Schools to, you know, don't get me going on that.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I contend that if you just do some things differently, like in the Parenting the Powerful Child book, I say such un-American things as don't ask your kids questions. And parents say, what? I said, don't ask them questions. Well, Dr. Lehman, you know, I've read a few of your books. I respect you. I've heard you on Focus on the Family for years. I've watched you on Good Morning America, but I must respectfully disagree with you. I think it's very important, like when Melanie comes home from school, I always ask Melanie, how was your day, honey? Okay, let's go through that. Melanie, how was your day today? Fine. What'd you do in school today? Nothing. Teenager, where you been? Oh, what'd you do? Nothing. Save your breath, parents. And all you women who are married, I'm speaking for every married man on this earth, we don't like it when you ask us questions, and we hate the Y word. And what I'm saying is we need some new ways of talking to kids. Kids have so many influences around them that, quite frankly, aren't good for them. And what I've tried to do, and I think quite successfully, is get parents to begin to talk to kids differently so they don't shut you out of their life. And that's what they're doing in huge numbers.
All right. So in your book, you give us ideas and directions in that regard, and you say we can't afford to wait to engage this because too much is at stake.
Well, you know, kids grow up way too quick today. I think you'd agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
And parents, like fools, give kids too many things. Now, Sandy and I have five children, and I'm a dad that could afford to give his kids, quote, anything they ever wanted in life. And Sandy and I have both taken, I think, a great deal of pride in the fact that we haven't given them squat diddly jack.
Well, we're going to pick up on what that looks like when we get back after this break. Stay tuned, my friends.
When Jesus described the times leading to his return, he warned that pestilence would ravage the earth. And we're now in those times, and medical experts are warning of plagues, viruses, and life-threatening conditions for which antibiotics are either losing effectiveness or have no effect. MRSA is one of those even ravaging our hospitals. So what can we do? Amazingly, a new technology called Silver Sol has recently been discovered, and this technology is so good and so effective in responding to these conditions that it's even been patented, and it comes in both liquid and gel form. For the safety of your family, I want to urge you to look at Silver Sol. Go to our website now, saveus.org, and get more information. Then order yours today. That's saveus.org or call 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Do it today. Don't delay.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. We're confronting the deepest issues that touch our hearts and our homes from God's eternal perspective. Today, in the second half of the program, we're looking at how this so-called powerful child, whose power is uncontrolled, it's not under godly control, And so he becomes a nuisance to everyone around him and begins to manipulate and control his parents and eventually everyone else around him. Your gift of $16 or more to Save America Ministries is going to put this $18 hardbound book in your hands. The title of the book is Parenting Your Powerful Child, How to Bring an End to Everyday Battles. Just give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. It's on our website, saveus.org, www.saveus.org. Or you can write to us at Save America Ministries. Now, our guest, Dr. Kevin Lehman, says all lessons in life aren't learned easily. This one that's better for your child to learn early. The world doesn't revolve around you. He says kids who are powerful elementary school kids grow into even more powerful junior highers. Gabriella, for instance, had already sought attention. By eighth grade, she had climbed to the top of the food chain in her particular group. She was known for getting attention in all the wrong ways, but somehow got away with it. Until, that is, she pulled one power play too many. When she texted inappropriate comments that made fun of a girl outside her group and publicly shamed the girl at school, she got more than she bargained for. A week later, Gabriella's mom got a shocking call from an attorney who informed her the girl's family was pressing harassment charges against Gabriella. The mom tearfully said, "At first, I didn't believe it. I knew my girl could never text messages like that, but then I saw them, and my eyes were opened as to who my daughter had really become." So, kids who are powerful junior highers grow into even more powerful high schoolers and just carry it on from there, my friends. It's a pretty serious business how we raise our kids. Right, Kevin?
Well, it is. You know, the stakes are high. And like I say, there's so many forces pulling kids in different directions. I mean, I just did Dr. Bill Bennett's show yesterday, Morning in America.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Bennett, of course, was in the Reagan administration. He was the czar of education, if I remember correctly. And I was suggesting that at this time of year, at Christmas in particular, you give a kid a candy bar and wrap it with a $10 bill or a $5 bill or a $20 bill, depending upon your budget. And the kid sees that 10 or 20 and more, those eyes get big. And you very gently explain to the child that the candy bar is theirs. The $10 bill or the $20 bill or the $5 bill is for them to give to someone who's in need.
Oh.
And I think, you know, we teach kids. I've got five kids. Our youngest is in college, and all five are givers. Well, and they're not takers. Most kids are takers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I call them hedonistic little suckers.
Well, we've trained our kids to an entitlement mentality, and then we can't understand why they're wanting the government to take care of them.
Well, I just texted my friends at Fox and Friends. I do them a lot in New York, and I said, why don't we do a spot on the relationship between how we rear children and the entitlement mentality that is pervasive in our society.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts in the home. And, you know, every parent that you will talk to will tell you, oh, Chuck, we believe in discipline. Yeah, you believe in discipline until it's your kid disciplined. And then you show up with attorney in hand. And you can't do that to my son or my daughter. And it's just part of the way it is today. So
in many
ways, I feel like I'm the lone wolf talking to myself on top of the mountain. But looking at my Facebook and my website, I actually am comforted that young parents are listening. And a lot of them are clueless as to giving your kids what I call vitamin N, which is no. vitamin E, which is encouragement. I mean,
there you go.
I'm not smart enough to write a book that's complicated, but I've written 45 of them, and I think this one scratches where parents itch, and it's been fun to watch it go in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, you have a chapter called Power Comes in Different Packages, and you've laid out some rather interesting titles, The Loud Aggressive Manipulator, The Temperamental Manipulator, The Curveball Manipulator, The Quiet Shy Manipulator, The Sensitive Walk on Eggshells Manipulator, The Stubborn Procrastinating Manipulator. And I think as we hear those titles, there are images that come to our mind about various children that maybe our own, maybe grandchildren, maybe others in our neighborhood and our churches and so on. And then you indicate that we as parents are called to be a circuit breaker. And what does a circuit breaker do?
Well, I've got a chapter in there called Rewiring Your Home, too.
That's right.
I took the analogy that what parents don't understand is that they're the power source for your child. If you have a powerful child, don't look too far, parents, because there's a powerful parent somewhere nearby. That's where the kid listened to it. And so I think it's interesting for parents, and I like the way you describe that, that you can conjure up a picture of what the loudmouth, aggressive, powerful child is like. Mm-hmm. And you can certainly conjure up a picture of the kid that's the drama queen or king, the kid who throws temper tantrums and punches holes in walls and stuff like that. But what I find is intriguing are these powerful, powerful children who are very quiet. Oh, Dr. Lehman, Melissa is a very shy girl, a very shy girl. I tell you, when I hear that, Chuck, I grab my wallet and hang on.
Yeah.
Because this is a kid I wouldn't trust for 3 feet because they can manipulate you.
Oh, yes.
And they can use tears. I mean, ask any man how he feels when his wife cries. And that's a good intro into something I talk about in Parenting Your Powerful Child.
Yeah, careful
and
now.
I don't think that people get this in other books, but I write about purposive behavior. Now, yeah. Purposive is a word as a parent that mm-hmm. you just have not used this week or this month or today for that matter. But what is purposive behavior? It means there's certain behavior that a kid will engage in that serves a purpose in their life.
And he will do it purposely with intentionality.
That's right. And so if you've got a whiner in your family, folks, you need a wine cellar. I mean, you need a place where this kid can howl at the moon if he wants to. But a kid only continues to whine because it's paid off.
Exactly. So when you placate the whiner or you placate the manipulator or you placate the one who's demanding just to get him to shut up, what happens?
Well, he just becomes more so. But here's the, here's the bottom line. Fighting is an act of cooperation. Now, if you're driving, if you're driving, hang on to the wheel, because what I just told you is sort of revolutionary. What do you mean fighting is cooperation? Well, the kids know exactly what to say to punch up your buttons, and then you engage in battle with them.
Yeah.
And when you get mad at him, you not only say his first name, John, but add Henry or Alan, whatever his middle name is, and the battle begins. It's the same thing when husbands and wives fight with each other. We know exactly how to escalate the battle. Mentioning your mother-in-law will usually get you to the next level. And so you got to understand that one of the ways to quell stuff with kids, even when they say stuff that's outrageous, honey, you can feel that way, and you can feel strongly about that. But I have to tell you that mom and dad don't feel that way. And so, no, you're not going there. But you can be upset about it. It's okay. And then turn your back and walk away.
So in other words, you're saying change the language form so that you're not just engaging in constant confrontation.
Exactly. When your husband, lady, says something really, really stupid, do you think you could look at him and say, wow. That's all. You can think he's an idiot. Just don't say you're an idiot. That's not going to get you anywhere. Just say, wow, fascinating.
All right, so you're saying that we as parents have to respond rather than react.
Well, and here's the thing. If your doctor says to you, hey, Chuck, you responded to the medication, that's great. But if he says you reacted to the medication, hey, you're in trouble, partner.
That's right.
So if that helps parents remember, respond, don't react.
All right, so what's the difference? What? Tell us the difference. Show us the difference between responding to this this powerful child's assault.
All right, let me just give you an easy one where a little a nine-year-old is sitting at breakfast with a single mom. And, boy, if there's a tough thing in life, it's those single mommies out there. I pray for those guys all the time. But this little nine-year-old looks up at his mom on a Saturday morning at breakfast and says something very innocent. Mommy, I want a pony. A pony? She's got a deep voice. A pony? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. Where'd you get an idea like that? I'm telling you, if a bird had your brain, he'd fly sideways. What is wrong with you, a pony? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. Well, there's a reaction. Now, a response. Mommy, I want a pony. A pony? Wow, can you imagine having your own pony? Can you imagine riding to school on your pony in the morning, going by all the kids at the bus stop, waving to them as you go by?
Yeah, and can you imagine mucking up his stall every morning at 4 in the morning before you go to school?
and the kid says, yeah, but Mommy, we live in a two-bedroom apartment. We can't have a pony. The kid will figure it out. So all I'm saying is remove your sails, parents, from your child's wind. And see, this is why this book is a bestseller, because I think it gives parents different ways of confronting the same old problems that we have over again.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got a kid that doesn't get up in the morning for school, here's another one. Parents have the worst arguments with their kids in the morning, mm-hmm. trying to get them out the door to the school bus.
Or especially going to church.
Well, that's another one. I love that one. I had a pastor. I wish I could just tell you to call this pastor in Texas. When I gave him the suggestion, I said, you know what I would do some morning? I'd just get up some morning and just leave. Go to church, leave the kid home. And I left him home, and I said, make it a day. Make it a day. And they came home about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And the kid was just fit to be tied. He said, where have you been? And he's really angry, and they said very glibly, honey, we're at church. Church, it's 5:10. Church is out at noon. I'm starving. What are we going to eat around here? Oh, honey, don't even mention food. Oh, that strawberry pie just finished me off. I don't make these things up. That kid was in church next Sunday.
Hey, Kevin, so are you a counselor or a comedian?
Well, I could do stand-up, tell you the truth.
I can tell it.
I do. But see, I'm the baby of the family, and my middle name is Fun. You should know this. I graduated fourth in my class in high school as a kid, but it was fourth from the bottom and not fourth from the top.
Yeah, so, well, you babies, you get by with things that nobody else can get by with.
I think that's true. Most of your major comedians are babies. But, you know, years ago I stopped apologizing for humor, and I figured out, you know, God gave me that gift of humor, and I'm going to use it. So when I go and do a show in New York, and I do shows like The View and Good Morning America.
Shame on you.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I've been there. The only way to escape is using humor. They don't care about some chubby psychologist from Tucson, Arizona. Trust me.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And so very quickly then, Dr. Lehman, grace-based parenting, what in the world does that mean? You said it's for the prodigal in our life.
Yeah,
you can go you mean there's a higher level of the powerful child when they become prodigal?
Well,
real quickly, 30 seconds.
There's parents tonight wishing they could FedEx their kid to a far-off land. Okay? And so the reality is you have to extend grace. The reason God's grace is so plentiful is because we need it.
Yeah.
And so lots of times as parents, you got to say, honey, I was wrong. Would you forgive me?
Well, okay. Well, thanks so much for joining us. We needed levity in the middle of this serious discussion. Friends, your gift of $16 or more, we'll put the hardbound book, it's an $18 book, in your hand. Just call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Parenting Your Powerful Child. Get it on our website, saveus.org, and become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. God bless you, and let's do a good job in handling our kids.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.